Well, they sing those words. I don't know who holds tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand, and the Holy Spirit's hammering home in my heart. And then they expect me to preach after that. But I am so thankful for God's guidance, God's leadership, God's protection, and the fact that whatever tomorrow holds, God's got this, and He's got us. I want to express a deep appreciation to my staff and our worship team, to Pastor Jett, Pastor Jeff, for so admirably filling in while I was gone. You didn't see her on camera today, but Miss Elaine Benson has been our music director today. She's prepared our worship service, and we appreciate it so much. And our camera crews and sound technician, these people are so faithful, and I honor them. If you were with us today, we would have you stand and honor you and the various branches of our military, from the Army to the Navy to the Marine Corps to the Air Force and the Coast Guard. And we do honor you today, and we want you just right now to, I don't know, maybe stand, whatever you can do to just accept our appreciation. And then we would also have a time when we had those who have lost loved ones in the military services stand. And we do have members of our congregation standing in honor of these various individuals. I searched through the scriptures this week. You can be seated. I searched the scriptures and I wanted to find a passage of scripture that would help me and guide me in trying to recognize and pay tribute to those, particularly on Memorial Day, where we celebrate and honor and remember those who have died in military service. I don't know if you can see it, but on the screen behind me is a scene that is very, very familiar from my childhood years all the way to the present. This happens to, I don't know what cemetery, but in Madison, Tennessee, where my wife Karen grew up, there are one of these military cemeteries, and from my earliest days, every time we passed, there just came a spirit of awe over me, and there still does. This particular Memorial Day is a little more significant because one of our own, Brother Vince Mundy, two-time Purple Heart winner, went to be with the Lord soon after all of the stay-at-home orders and the shelter-in-place orders, and we had to kind of adjust for his service, but he is now lying at rest in one of those military cemeteries, and we honor his memory and all of his comrades. I turn to Paul's writing to the young man Timothy. Paul had a way with words. He was a master orator, and he had a beautiful way of illustrating, coming up with metaphors or images that drove home his points. And in his letter to 2 Timothy, it's no exception. He uses a couple of different metaphors to explain to us what we ought to do as members of the body of Christ. And of course, he refers in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verses 5 and following, he talks about the athlete, which in his day would be the closest thing to our professional athletes. These would be athletes that would compete in the Olympics and so forth. And he holds them up as a model for our relationship with Christ. However, even more telling, and it's amazing to me, it's very pertinent to our situation, because during this time of trying to limit the scope of this horrible, horrible plague that is upon us, every level of sports competition has been canceled. And every day I read their attempts to plan and when they're going to open and what they're going to do, and it has kind of put things in perspective to me. As a sports fan, and particularly a football nut, it's put things in perspective to me that the NFL, National Football League, for instance, is talking about playing the whole season without any fans. And so that's just, you know, it's not quite as important. And those athletes are not quite the heroes and certainly not quite the models that we may have held them up to be. But Paul also uses the metaphor, the image of the soldier, which to me, you're during these times, wherever we are, sheltered in place, that has given us some time to be with family, and we've enjoyed doing some things we haven't been able to do before, but our military personnel are still on the job. They're still doing what they do, protecting us, preserving our freedoms, and protecting our way of life. So I've chosen the words of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, to help me to honor those who have given the ultimate sacrifice in our military service on this Memorial Day weekend. Read along with me. "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer." And I want you to just linger with me for a while on those words. And I want to pull several words or phrases from that that identify and help us to understand the life of a soldier. And I want us to understand that we also are enlisted in a great military endeavor. We are soldiers of Christ, and the battle is engaged, and the war is real, and we are fighting the forces of evil every day. Even at this moment in the history of our country, we are fighting a battle for Christ and right. So I wanted to start by just a little poem that I ran across related to Memorial Day weekend. It says, "Over all our happy country, over all our nation spread, is a band of noble heroes. It's the army of the dead." That is a little couplet from Will Carlton that I think is appropriate on this weekend. Charles Caleb Colton has said, and I've often repeated this, most of us have kind of flippantly repeated this little cliche, not knowing who was originally said it, but it pertains, it's apropos for what we're talking about this weekend. It just simply says, "Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Imitation is the best way that we can honor, that we can memorialize, and we can remember those that have given the ultimate sacrifice for us." So Paul points us toward this model for our Christian walk, the soldier. Tonight, today, I want us to remember the soldier. Who they were? I should say, use the present tense as all, who they are, what they represent, what they gave, and what they call us to as soldiers. First of all, I'll mention the strength of the soldier. "You then, my son, be strong." I am very well acquainted with the lifestyle and the preparation and the continued conditioning of our soldiers. I grew up not real well acquainted with the military. I had a brother that was drafted, got a letter of congratulations. "You have been invited to serve in the United States Army, and you will report at so-and-so for the party and so forth." But I've not didn't really understand a lot about the military life. And then my children achieved high school, and they decided they want to join an organization called JROTC. And it's military preparation, and then soon after that, there rose in their hearts a wave of patriotism, a drive, a calling, if you will, to serve their country. And so two out of my three children have served, and I've watched and walked through the journey with them. And I know what they've gone through. I've watched in basic training. I've seen their hands bloody and bleeding from all the exercise. I have video somewhere of my son-in-law, my son, and my daughter coming out of the gas chamber. And I'll try to be very discreet in describing that, but basically there was some kind of liquid coming out of every orifice in their face as they made their way out of that that room where they unleashed tear gas, and then craziest thing, they asked them to take their mask off, their gas mask off, and there for a period of time. I know the exercises, I know the training in basic and AIT, and even these days, I'm familiar with the physical PT tests that they have to take periodically. And my kids are crying about the new requirements of the PT test. It's hard, it's tough, but everything they do, everything they eat, every moment of every day is designed to build strength, make them strong. Strong not only physically, but strong in character, strong in courage. And so Paul encourages us to be strong like some of those soldiers. I'm thinking today of some of the young people that I've known associated with my kids through high school and through the military and so forth. I'm thinking of one in particular that rushed into a minefield in Afghanistan to save a group of soldiers that had gotten in danger. They weren't even American soldiers. They were, I believe, Danish soldiers. But without hesitation, that strength of character rose up, and he rushed in there to try to help them. And there his life ended on the battlefield. So Paul encourages us to be strong. It takes conditioning to be the kind of Christian that we're called to be, the kind of soldier in the Lord's army. Well, I want to move on and talk about the qualifications of the soldier. Each one has a job to do. And I learned really quickly as my kids progressed that they have to choose MOS. And forgive me, they've got an acronym or something for everything that they do, and I've not been able to memorize them all. But MOS has to do with their specific job. Two of my kids are military police. One has served in areas where I'm really not free to talk about, but it's their job. And for that job, they work extremely hard to meet the qualifications of that job. And Paul calls us and encourages us to do the same and trust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. My son-in-law and my daughter are both now in teaching positions. They've served overseas, they've served deployments, and now they are teaching others, entrusting into others to reliable people who will also be qualified to carry on. That's the life of the soldier. All the qualifications are different for every job description, every MOS, but they apply themselves diligently to fulfill those qualifications. Every Christian, as a member of the army of Christ, has skills, God-given talents, God-given gifts. Don't tell me that you don't have any gifts. You know, that's such a slap in the face of God Almighty, who gives gifts to all of us. What we need to do as soldiers is recognize those gifts, develop those gifts, Yes, you can even choose. They may not be your necessary God-given gifts, but you can even choose areas of service and apply yourself to meet the qualifications for that service. But every one of us needs to follow through as the soldiers that have given their life have. I want to talk a little bit about the suffering of the soldier. Paul says in verse 3, "Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ." It's amazing how much these military personnel, men and women, go through to make themselves the best. Just one of the processes that one of my kids went through is called SEERS training. S-E-R-S. That stands for Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape. They were taken out in the middle of a wilderness area in one part of our country, and they were just dropped there. And they had to survive all on their own. And I have enjoyed hearing the tales of some of the training, conditioning. They had to crawl through mosh pits and all kind of difficult circumstances. They had to eat whatever they could find, which included snakes that they captured and other things that are a lot worse than that. He talked about them becoming so weak at one point that if they moved around, they had to hold their arms up so the blood that would normally be in their arms would drain to their heart to keep them from passing out. Extremely, extremely difficult. And they suffer much, and they suffer it gladly. And then in combat, the horrible, horrible situations. I've watched some of those newsreels. I enjoy even in the modern portrayals of some of the battlefield. Every once in a while, they will inject some of the original footings from, say, Normandy. The invasion or the landing at Normandy is particularly poignant as we watch wave after wave after wave of these soldiers, these armored personnel carrier, roll up on the beach, open the doors right into the face of the fire of the enemy, and wave after wave after wave of soldier flies into the face of almost certain death. I saw a comparison to the football players, and I read that with interest, but it said they've rushed onto the beaches. The only blockers they had was the dead bodies of their comrades laying before them. They suffered much. And I want to mention, it's not just some of the things that are obvious. It's not just the very extreme discipline and conditioning of the body. Not only the danger they face, but the separation from their families, from their loved ones. As we memorialize these soldiers on Labor Day, Memorial Day, I want us to remember the young wives that were made widows nearly as soon as they became brides. The children of these soldiers that were born after their fathers had died on a battlefield somewhere around our world. I want us to understand that though the soldier or Marine or whatever they might be gave their all in a moment in a foxhole or jungle or desert, wherever it might be around our world, the pain for the memory and the memories for the family continue. And these special days, birthdays, Christmases, wedding anniversaries, those kind of things, they still are paying a price. So we honor those who have been left behind. But we want to learn our lessons from that and respond to the challenge and understand it's vitally important. It's absolutely necessary that young men and young women continue to volunteer to serve their country. Without them, our liberty, our freedom, our nation will not stand. But for a week or so, we need to understand that there's the same kind of urgency for the soldier of Christ. And yes, it's occurred to me that those soldiers, some of them were quite profane. Some were, they liked to imbibe in spirits, Not all were Christians, but the overwhelming majority of them believed in Christian principles, believed in godliness, had an understanding that this country was founded because people wanted to worship God and be faithful to Him and not be told by governmental authorities or some other group how they should live their life or how they should worship their Lord. And so many of these, Christian or not, marched in the face of dangers, absolutely committed to those Christian principles, Christian faith, and they supported it. And gave their life for it. And now we're on the front lines. There is a desperate battle going on for the soul of our country. There's a desperate battle going on for morality. Every principle, every value, every ethic that we hold as Christians, every aspect of godliness is being challenged and attacked on every side, and we are the ones who must stand. We must resist, even though it cost us much. Well, I want to move on and talk about the subordination of the soldier. Paul says, "No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer." There's a loyalty. There's a commitment to obedience. There's commitment to take orders. Sometimes those orders, I have witnessed, sometimes those orders have been cruel. Sometimes they've been unjust. Sometimes they've been unkind. But these soldiers are committed to subordination to their commanding officers. Some have been ordered into battle. Some didn't want to lay in a foxhole. I'm sure there were those that did not want to jump from the helicopters in a rice paddy or jungle environment in Vietnam, in the killing fields as they came to be known. They were commanded. And they obeyed without reservation. For some, it was the last command they ever obeyed. And we honor them today. But again, I think it goes almost without saying, obviously, our commanding officer is Jesus Christ. Our manual of operation is the Word of God, and there are specific commands that we have. God has sent His Holy Spirit, dispatched His Holy Spirit to be God Himself here and now and in the circumstances of life. He directs us. Yes, He gives us orders from time to time. And we as Christians, soldiers in the army of Christ, need to be faithful and true and absolutely committed and absolutely subordinate to our commanding officer. We must be obedient to Christ as these soldiers are obedient to their commanding officers. Well, I wanted to just add one. Not specifically mentioned like these others, but inherent and underlying is the sacrifice of the soldier. I mentioned, but I want to repeat, that these that are buried in military cemeteries, these that are buried at sea, these that are still considered MIA, missing in action, possibly buried in some remote grave, shallow grave, somewhere in some remote corner of our world, are not the only ones that give sacrifice. Every person associated with our military, at least potentially, face the same dangers and are willing to march into the teeth of that danger at a moment's notice. We honor all of our military, but particularly those that have given their lives. Joseph Campbell, I'm not sure who that is, but he said, "A hero is someone who has given his or her life to something bigger than oneself." Our soldiers are doing that every day. all gave something, everyone, regardless of rank or MOS, everyone gave something. But this weekend we honor those who gave all. All gave something, but some gave all. It was Dr. Martin Luther King that made this statement. I think it may have a double entendre. It may have at least two levels of meaning. But he said, in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. I think to some point that may be a call to voice, to use our voice, to use our whatever means we have to stand up for freedom and enhance freedom for every person, every individual. But I think it also would refer to those who lie in silent graves, wherever they are. In the end, it's not been the screams of communist leaders or of despots around the world that are saying death to America. In the end, it's not those words, those shouts that we'll remember, but the silence of those who have given their all to quiet the voices and overcome the screams and yells of our enemies. I want to do this at the end. It's a song that I learned as a child, and every group of children I think we've ever worked with just love this song. And I want you to remember that this is not about us. This weekend's not about us. It's about those who have given their life. But we cannot separate that freedom and that sacrifice from our call to enlist and engage and faithfully serve in the army of Jesus Christ. The few that are here with me, the worship team, I want you to stand up. You can move out in the aisle if you want to. You folks on Facebook Live can't see this live, but they're going to move out into the aisle. And we're going to sing this song together in closing, all right? Sing it with me. And there are motions that go with it. So I'm going to stand up here and make a fool of myself, but you at least give me something to look at. All right, you ready? I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Hold it. Now, we like to add some things to this, so when I sing it with the kids, and we're going to do this, repeat this refrain in the chorus, I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. All right. Here we go. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. Are you singing it at home? I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. And I hope you're saying yes, sir, to Christ as the commander-in-chief, and that you'll honor your friends, your loved ones in a special way. Contact their family. Just tell them how much you appreciate their sacrifice. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. And we will be getting out word as to the decisions concerning our future worship. And we hope that you'll continue to pray with us that God will lead and guide. Have a great day.